Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. Here it is once more and again that God has allowed us to be here on Wednesday night. I just want to thank everybody for taking time out of their schedule and taking time to come in as we fellowship with God. Right now, what I'm going to do is a little different. I want to open up and play a song. So I'm going to play this record and this song, and when I come back, we're going to get started. Thank you. Something that's not working well, but let me think of something. Please bear with me, you guys. Pray that you guys can hear me on tonight. I don't know what's really happening, but I know God can work it out. And he will. Just bear with me, I'm not gone. There's a caller on the line. Their number is 504-891-66. If you could hear my voice, please press the 1 button. I'm not going to ask you to talk anything. I just want to know that the listeners can hear. If you're on the line, please press 1. All right, here the calls come now. I think everything is straight. God is an awesome God. All right, callers. Here we're going to try it one more time. Well, it's Wednesday night Bible study. And it just really is amazing how everything was set up and then some glitches came. But God is in control and nothing can stop his will or his way. I am so excited and elated that each and every one of you is on the line tonight, and the line is lighting up now. It was a delay. I couldn't see the lines and you guys couldn't hear my voice. But I'm here, and God has something in store for all of us. I'm going to try to play a song. I'll come back with the lesson. For those of you who have your Bibles, please go to 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. And the topic tonight is your mind will play tricks on you. Your mind will play tricks on you. So we're going to have some music right now, and then I'll come back with prayer, and we'll start the lesson. Thanks, each and every one of you, for calling in. You know, our obedience first is to God, the head of all of our lives, and his son Jesus and the sweet Holy Spirit, you know. And I thank each and every one of you for calling in, either by telephone or on the internet. Thank you. And here's some music.
Can I tell y'all one more time? I said he saw the best. had a witness tonight. Can I ask y'all one question? The question is simply this. What did he see?
He saw the face.
I can't get no help of it here. Because there are some folk in here that people have wrote you off. Said you would never amount to anything. Said that you would never end up being anywhere. But Myron, tell him one more time. What did he see?
He saw the face.
When mama said you would never be nothing. When aunties and uncles said that you would never amount to anything. When daddy didn't come home anymore. He didn't look at you and say that you weren't going to make it. God looked at you and what did he see? What did he see?
Well, the name of that record is God Only Sees the Best in Us. You see, once we accept Christ as our Savior, even though we will never be perfect and we can't do everything right, when God says, when he look at us, if we accepted his son and his son began to live in our hearts, he no longer see the sin, but he only sees his son. That's why they say we are new creatures, and that song say he sees the best in us. You know, when it started off, you know, I couldn't get through, and I didn't know if you guys could hear me. You see, but God showed up. And the record that I wanted to play, it wouldn't come through, but now I got it set up, and I want to share this with y'all because it just ministered to my heart a little while ago, and I want to share it with you guys. Usually I don't do two songs. But I just feel a need to, and if y'all just bear with me, I'm going to play this, and we're going to go straight into the lesson. Thank you.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God.
Come on and say, oh,
And I just want to say thank you. We just ushered in the Holy Ghost. And let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is one more time that I come to your throne of grace. Heavenly Father, bowing down before you because you're such an awesome God. Heavenly Father, I just want to take time and have to give you time to say thanks for all of the bountiful blessings that you have bestowed on us. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you bless everyone that called in and bless the ones that's too busy to call in and bless everyone that's listening on the internet, dear God, and bless their families and their homes, dear God. Give them peace in their mind, dear God. Settle them, dear God. Fill them up where they're weak. Heavenly Father, look down upon the sick and the bereaved families, dear God, because it's just it's a trying time. Heavenly Father, we realize that we all must go, but we don't always like it when it happens. But I just want to say thank you, God, because your will and your way is perfect. Heavenly Father, I realize that you don't make no mistakes. And Heavenly Father, whatever you orchestrate or allow in our lives, we should be able to say well done. Heavenly Father, keep us being steadfast and unmovable to the words of God that you may say, servant, well done. At the end of our journeys. Lord, we need you, and we can't make it without you, and because of you, we are. You're an awesome God, dear God. You're God all by yourself. You don't have to go to no one to figure out what you need to do, dear God, because you're the number one. You don't have to answer to no one, dear God. Teach us how to understand your will and your way. That we may have success in living in the days of our lives and be able to be accepted into your kingdom once we leave. Lord, our life here is nothing but a vapor, but you told us to hold on, and it's not compared to eternity. And I thank you for it, dear God, in Jesus' name. Amen, and thank God. Well, our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Corinthians. And for those who remember it, the book of Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul. You know, it's a book of the New Testament. And, you know, Paul was a Jew. And he believed in Judaism religion before he met Christ. And once he met Christ, he believed and became a Christian. He accepted Christ as his Savior. You see, the Jews who practice Judaism is still waiting for the Messiah. They believe the prophets of the Old Testament that the Messiah would come, but not believing that Jesus was the one. You see, it's so amazing that the Jews of today is still waiting for the Messiah. And you could bank on it because whenever you see the Jews and they're in Jerusalem and they go into the wall to pray, they're praying to God seven times a day, asking him to send them a Messiah. Or how sad that is that they don't realize that Jesus had already come. How they didn't realize that Joseph, who was born by the Virgin Mary and the carpenter's son, Jesus, his earthly father, Joseph, and his heavenly father, God, had already come. You see, to believe and accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah, once you do that, he becomes your Lord and Master, and he's your Savior. And we become Christians. That doesn't mean that we'll be, you know, perfect. Christian means to be Christ-like. It didn't say we could be Christ. And once we accept him, we are placed out of harm's way. You see, the accepting of Christ as the chosen one is a thing that we must do. You see, back then they believed in God, the Jews, and little did they know that God and Jesus was one and the same. Their minds was playing tricks on them because, you see, they wouldn't accept the truth. So they believed what they wanted to believe. Just because we believe something and it's our opinion, it becomes our perception. It doesn't mean that it's true. It doesn't mean that it's right. You see, Paul was commissioned by Christ to bring the word of God to the Gentiles. because y'all remember that the Jews was the chosen ones, Gentiles, which is anything but a Jew. So we are Gentiles. It wasn't open for us before God allowed it to be open. And I thank God for Paul bringing the word to the Gentiles. And see, Jesus Christ commissioned Paul to bring it to the Gentiles and anyone who would listen. And for that, Paul used to crucify the Christians. Then he accepted Christ and he thought bringing the gospel and trying to get more to be Christians. And because he was doing this and he was faithful and he was good, you know, most of the people that just stood up for the word of God back then had a problem. See, Paul was killed. And when someone is killed for doing the work of God, they call that martyred. You see, they beheaded him. But Paul wrote that he'd rather suffer and die for the witnessing of his faith and a refusal to denounce his religious beliefs, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's amazing that Paul was killed for his belief. And today we have freedom and don't understand or embrace the gospel at all costs. You know, if we start loving on Jesus, ain't nobody going to lock us up in jail. They're not going to kill us, you know. And yet, we don't embrace the gospel at all costs. God chose Paul because he knew that if Paul was so faithful in the Judaism, with Judaism, and when he would receive the truth, he would be even more faithful to Christianity. See, God knew he could use Paul when Paul wasn't looking for God. None of us went looking for God. God came looking for us, and we need to just thank him for that. We need to just thank him for that because it's such a blessing. God is in true control, and he wants us to do the things that he asks us to do. We're going into the scripture now, and we're in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. There's a first, and there's a 2 Corinthians. We're going to the 10th chapter, and we're going to start with the third verse. And that verse said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That's the scripture. Okay, what is the scripture saying? This is what it's saying. Even though we walk, when you see the word walk, it means to live. So if you take walk out and you put live, they say even though we live in the flesh, in the flesh which is our body, we do not war, which means to fight, after which means according to the flesh. And then the flesh that time mean a world standard. Okay, I say that. Let's just break it down. Even though we walk in the flesh, our bodies, we do not have to fight after or according to the flesh. In other words, just because you live, you have flesh on your body, and we walk in the flesh, we don't have to live and act like everything with the flesh. You see, and the flesh is identified as world or human standards. So the scripture is saying that even though we walk in this body, we do not fight according to worlds or human standards. The scripture is letting us know that there is a war going on, and the war is between our flesh and our spirit. You see, as long as we live in our body, which is our flesh, the flesh will crave fleshly things, which are sin, but the spirit will yearn for the things of God. Until you die, you're going to have flesh. And flesh want to do what flesh does. Flesh is going to crave what flesh figure it needs. You're not going to stop that. You see, one of the things, just something simple like eating, is a thing that the flesh crave. It crave water. So, you know, you're not going to stop the cravings of the flesh. But you have to see what you're going to do with that flesh. You know, besides craving good things like food and water. You know, flesh craves for all kind of things. It craves for sex in the wrong way. It could crave for lust. It could make you be prideful. It could make you, you know, be disrespectful. It can make you do all sorts of sin. So we got to live in the flesh, the Bible say, but it just say, remember, you don't have to walk after the flesh, but you should walk after the spirit. Now, that's the word. You see, as long as we live in this body, which is our flesh, the flesh is going to want to do what flesh does. You see, there's a war. It's actively taking place every second in our lives. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, there's a scripture Paul say, every time I try to do good, evil is always present. You know how you decide to do something you shouldn't do, and you're trying to tell yourself not to do it? That's the war. The war is taking place every second in our lives. And you need to know that this war is fought in the boardrooms of our mind. You see, our mind is the direct, our mind is what directs and controls us. Our mind is either talking us into doing something or talking us out of doing something. Can you agree with me? Sometimes they have people that know they do things that's wrong and they trying not to do it, so their mind start trying to talk them out of it, and yet the flesh is trying to talk them, the spirit is talking them out of it, and the mind is trying to, the flesh is trying to talk them into it. You see, Proverbs 23 and 7 says, so as a man thinketh, so is he. So whatever you allow to control your mind, that's what you become. And you need the word of God to let you know that it could be something different. You see, we are really what we think. The way that we think can either help us or hurt us. Do you believe that? We cannot allow our thoughts to be governed by Satan, a man's standard, which is the world's standard, because then we will only be concerned with the desires of our flesh. Do you know anybody like that? Full of flesh and no spirit. You see, only satisfying our want appetite. And that want appetite is something that we have from the beginning. And I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I thank God that he began at some point to change my want appetite. And there's a lot of things in my appetite that he still needs to change. But, you know, a lot of things will change. But, you know, you have to ask God for the things that you want from God. You see, if we only satisfy our one appetite, we will certainly lose the war. You got to know this, that Satan can only operate in your mind. He messes with your thoughts and tries to control your actions. And one of his main goals is to tarnish your character. Remember, Satan's powers are limited. And he can only do what God allows him to do. And don't get excited about God allowing Satan to control you in some areas because you're weak. You see, God allows that and you be thinking you're going through, but God is taking you to the next level. God has to let trials and tribulations be a part of our life because that's what grows us. That's what shapes us. And that's what molds us. And you see, if we learn the first time, we don't have to repeat the same mistake the second time. It depends on each and every one of us. Y'all shouldn't be afraid and understand that Satan playing your head, and that's the only place he can, because if Satan could kill you, you'd have been dead a long time ago. You know, plenty of things that come in my mind, I'm talking about my mind right now, that I know it's of the world and it's a part of worldly appetites and things like that. And you know, I sometimes, you know, stand up tall, turn around, and I'm speaking to Satan because I try to put him behind me as much as I want. And I say, if you didn't get me back then, you can't get me now. And that's what lets you know that Satan does have power, don't get me wrong, but it's limited. It's only what God allows him to have. You see, Satan can only plant the thought and hope that you receive it. Come on now. And allow it to become your perception. Satan plant the thought and hope that you receive it. And you see, when we're not on our game and we walking in the flesh and not even walking in the spirit and not doing the things of God and not reasoning and not praying and not fellowship, you know, and things like that, it is so easy. You see? So Satan plant the seed, and we're not careful, you know, we receive it and allow it to become our perception. And before you know it, it becomes your reality. Don't let your mind play tricks on you. You know, perception and reality is something that I believe is something you have to pay attention to in this world. Because when people look and they perceive, the perception could be right or it could be wrong. But once a person have a perception of something, even if it's wrong, it becomes their reality. And their reality is just based on lies. It's based on lies. You see, because what Satan is do, he try to make things that is good look bad and things that are bad to look good. That's why they got so many confused people around here, and plenty of them are Christians. Because, you see, we Christians have compromising spirit. You know, anything go, everything is all right. We could live any kind of way we want. We could do it any kind of way we want. God really loves us. But God say, I'm a jealous God. That's in the word of God. You know, we have to sometimes stand tall for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, that a comedian was on the radio the other day, and they was telling a joke, and they say, this is so funny that the church allow people to come as they are, and the ballrooms and the clubs and the street have a dress code. Now, I'm so sorry, y'all ain't on. I can't hear y'all right now because I know somebody's saying amen. See, we were designed to conform the world, but the world is constantly conforming us. Can God use you? Will you stop letting your mind trick you? Because that's Satan. God ain't never tricked nobody. God don't have to do no tricks. God say, what you see is what you get. God done proven himself over and over and over and over and over and over again since the beginning of time. And God is always consistent. So that's what we should hold on to, and that's what we should look to. And yet we let our mind come in, and then we get depressed. We say we overwhelmed. We say we tired. We say we can't do it. It's not enough time. Why me? Why should I? You know, why? You see, because that's we letting our mind control us. And we letting it control us not of the spirit, but that's the flesh. Look around. The world we live in today, anything goes. And people are accepting it more and more each day. The TV programs, y'all know that ain't right. Men kissing men and women kissing women. And even, you know, that's been in the world since the beginning of time. It ain't nothing new. But it just wasn't in front of you and in front of the children where they could see it. You see, we have to remember that we are chosen people of God. And we must be transforming the world, to the things of God. But the world is conforming us to its standard. Satan is taking this war serious. See, the other thing is, you see, you know, a lot of us is laying down, relaxing, and letting the groove move us. We take God's word and we make it be what we want it to be. We take the word of God and we say, oh, I don't have to do this. All of that ain't necessary. But I'm going to just tell you this tonight, and I hope you hold on to it. The word of God, which is the Holy Bible, is the rules and regulations, the way that God wants his people to live. No one absolutely no one is afforded the privilege to be able to make up the rules and regulations on their own. If God wanted you making rules, he wouldn't have wrote a Bible. So stop, saying, the things you do is all right, and, because God didn't strike you with lightning. And they think, God is a jealous God, and God asks us to obey and submit, and God want to do things in our lives, and God expects certain things from us. God ain't just no gimme man. If you always want things from God and you want God to protect you, you want God to help you, you want God to financially bless you, you want God to fool with a penny of your foolishness. But he would say, to you, even though he shined the sunshine on the just as well as the unjust, but he, sometimes may be saying, what have you done for me lately? But sit back, relax, and made the rules up as you go. You see, Satan is taking this world, this battle serious. He don't sleep on the job. And he's doing everything in his limited power to find the battles that he can think he could win. But we have the victory already in Jesus Christ. But we have to keep our mind stayed on him. You see, Satan is our enemy, a thief. And John 10:10 said, the thief that cometh, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's all Satan want to do. But he said, I, God, Jesus Christ, have come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Do you have abundant life? Or is your mind always playing tricks on you? You see, flesh in and of itself is really not the problem. So even though I'm talking about this thing of flesh, and that's where sin dwell in, and flesh live by world standards, and flesh, answer to the call of Satan, and flesh do all this, but flesh in and of itself is not the problem. But it's when we allow our flesh to do what it wanted to and to be a part of certain things, and where you bring your flesh. You got to learn how to control as much as you can. And if you never begin to control, then you never will. You see, we must learn to control our minds, because we will either be doing the things of the flesh or the things of the spirit. I mean, it's plain and simple. It's the truth. It's a fact. It's plain. It's simple. You're either doing right or you're doing wrong. And some people don't know the difference because they don't read the word of God. They listen to the word of God that someone else is saying or have said. Have you ever, flipped the Bible and saw it in the Bible? And really, if somebody is quoting it wrong, then you're going to know it wrong. And then you're going to probably, try to repeat it, but you're going to be repeating it wrong. Come on now, for all that God did for us and is doing in our life, what do we owe him? You have to answer that question for yourself. Now I'm on 2 Corinthians 10:4, and the scripture says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Carnal is like worldly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of a stronghold. That's scripture. You see, our weapons cannot be carnal, which means earthly man's standards. Of flesh. You see, the weapons of the world are lies. Come on now. See, this is what Satan is geared up with. Come on now. Follow me. Satan is geared up, and he used weapons, because I already explained that it's a war. And Satan used weapons. But let me tell you what his weapons are. Lies. Lust. Deception. Greed. Pride. This is a good one. Thinking more of ourselves than we should. He like it when he got you there, because he will make a plumb deep fool out you. You think you all that in a bag of chips and everybody could see you, not even all of that but you. You see, then we turn around and we start using a blame game. Eve ate the apple. God questioned her. She blamed Satan. He asked Adam. Adam blamed the wife. See, that became our nature. That's where the blame game came from, way back with Adam and Eve. So it's in us. We just have to stop it. You see, some of the other things that he used is gluttony. Ain't never got enough. I don't care what it is. And then there's the sin of slothfulness, just lazy. You know, and when I say slothfulness, it don't always mean that you lazy and don't want to clean your house. You might not want to pay your bills on time. I know a lot of people who have the money to pay their bills and just too lazy to pay it when it's due. Slothfulness. And the last one I got on this paper, and there are many more, is anger. You got to stop being so mad all the time. The Bible says, don't, you know, it's all right to get angry, but sin not. Control yourself. You see, you may feel that you have won the battle with these weapons that Satan give. You tell all these lies. You know, what they call them, a habitual liar. And they tell one lie, and then they tell another one, then they tell another one, and they figure they done lied enough, and they figure they done won that battle because the lies, they believe, you believe their lies, and they think they won the battle. But you got to realize that Satan can only give temporal or short-term satisfaction. They tell that last lie and they satisfied. You see, but then Satan is to make you tell one more lie, and then he'll expose your lie, and then he leave you stuck out all alone to face the music by yourself. Look on the TV, on the news, where they done lied and cheated and used all these weapons of Satan. They was lust, they had greed, they had pride. Half of them, most of them, thought of themselves more than they was, and they was getting satisfaction, but it was temporal. And so, you know, soon as, you know, God just had it exposed, Satan just walk away. And he left them there to face the music. You see it all the time. It's no secret. It's what happens, and it happened to them. If you do the same thing, it's going to happen to you, and it's going to keep happening as it always happened, and that's what it's going to be. You see, then you realize that you have temporarily won the battle, but you sure enough lost the war. Once you accept, believe, and confess unto God and accept Jesus as your Savior, God equip you with mighty weapons. You know, if you go to Ephesians 6 and 11, you know, there's a whole armor of God. I'm not going to go up through it all, but, you know, many of you already know about the whole armor of God. You know, you walk in faith and the sword of salvation, and come on now, y'all. That's your weapons. That's what you should use, the word of God. You know, the sandals that are bring you into peace, the peace. But it's in Ephesians 6 and 11, and I suggest that everyone just take in, you know, in their spare time, read Ephesians 6 and 11, because that's the weapons God has given you. I already gave you the weapons that Satan used, and see what you got to attack his weapons. God said, I will never leave you and never forsake you. God said, I'm always near. I want you to know that a stronghold, as they say it in that scripture, you know, it describes a wall or a fortress that was plagued, that has plagued our mind from the beginning of time. Talking about Adam and Eve and when sin entered the world. You see, once when he entered the world, a stronghold is anything that has a stronghold on you. And that's what the scripture talking about, a stronghold. A stronghold is anything that has a hold on you. And the scripture that I read earlier, and I'm going to go back to the scripture. They say, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, I just told you what a stronghold is. And you see, a stronghold is placed, a stronghold is anything that has a stronghold on you. It represents a great wall of resistance to the truth. So you say, what you mean? The truth. You know, when you get ready to do something, you ain't got no business. If you got some sense, you say, I know I shouldn't. You see, that's the truth. But the stronghold and the wall of resistance is there not allowing you to walk in the truth in some cases. It could be something simple as eating food. I'm not talking about just people with drugs or people with sex addictions or whatever. All of that stronghold. But you know how you get at the table and you begin to eat and your stomach is full and it begin to hurt and you keep going? It became a stronghold. Because of the truth of the matter, you shouldn't even put no more in your mouth. But you do. And I use something simple as food because a stronghold is a stronghold. You see, a stronghold is a faulty thinking pattern. And it's based on lies and deception, doubt, fear, anxiety, sometimes loneliness, just to name a few. You see, deception is one of the primary weapons of the devil. It is the building block that create the wall. See, he start with a, say like with a brick of deception, and he constantly put more and more. Every time you accept what he's telling you, he's able to lay another brick. And then you accept what he say again, and you see, after a while, it's a wall. Hallelujah. Yes, it is. See, we got to ask God to give us a spirit of discernment to keep our thoughts focused on his truth. See, you need the spirit of discernment for that, so that you could be able to focus on his thoughts and his truth and his knowledge. God knowledge, which is the word of God, provides evidence that should help us control our thoughts and, guess what, our imagination. Our imagination is what allows our mind to play tricks on us. Y'all know about imagination? Imagination that's not placed correctly, or thought correctly, or used correctly is a dangerous thing. But imagination in and of itself is a good thing. It's amazing so many things that we study upon, like they said earlier, flesh in and of itself is not a bad thing. Is where you what you allow your flesh to do. And here we see imagination in and of itself is not a bad thing. Now, I'm going to give you imagination where it's a good thing, that you can relate to it with the word of God. If I bring you back to the story with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Hebrew boys, you know, they was placed in the fiery furnace. You know, and they was about to enter the fiery furnace, but they used their imagination. Watch this, y'all. Get this. They used their imagination based on evidence of God's power. See, their imagination allowed them to walk in the fiery furnace with their head held high and with the victory that is promised through the word of God. Because, you see, God had provided them with enough evidence of his power. Do you have enough evidence what God done already did in and through your life that he has provided you enough evidence that you can trust him? Trust him with your all, with your finances, with your money, with your husband and your children and your singleness. Can you just trust him? Because remember, and there's no doubt about it, and what I'm about to say, I know it's true. God has provided enough evidence for each and every one of us to know and understand his power. That's a mighty good God. We don't have to guess. We don't have to second guess. Because you see, the Hebrew boys had enough evidence to walk in that furnace because it's not, you know, the king told him, he said, you know, I really like y'all boys, and won't you just bow down to me, and I won't put you in a furnace. And he didn't want them to die. And he finally told him, he said, let me tell you something. Maybe your God cannot do this, or your God may not show up. But because God has provided them enough evidence of his power and they believed in him, they allowed their imagination to rest in the fact that they knew they had the victory. But knowing you got the victory is not always the way you want it. And this is what the Hebrew boys said. Maybe God may not show up, and maybe we may die in the fire. They say, but one thing we know for sure, that God is able. And see, they was at that point saying, whatever God will is well done. you know, they say that they knew that God could do anything but fail. They used their mighty, they used their spiritual weapon of faith. Come on now. Mixed with their imagination, and they stepped in. Oh, hallelujah. You see, imagination is necessary, and when used correctly. And I'm going to give you an example of imagination the wrong way. If we look at Adam and Eve, Satan told Eve a lie. She allowed her imagination to get the best of her. Because you see, your imagination is an act of power. Your imagination is the act or power of creating mental images of what has never actually been experienced. Let me say that again. Your imagination is the act or power of creating mental images. Okay, what we saying there, I'm going to stop it. Mental images in your mind, you imagine. And when you imagine it, most of the time it's something that has never happened. Like I say, I could imagine if I go to Disney World, I would have a good time, and you imagine it. So they say images that has never actually been experienced. That's what your imagination does a lot. So that's what was happening to Eve. You see, she could have cast down her imagination about what Satan was telling her, that she could become God and she would know right from wrong, because that's not the way God said it, but she let her mind trick her. And she went with her imagination. You see, she could have cast down her imagination, but she didn't. She accepted the thought that had not actually been experienced as real and good, and she ate of the apple. She gave some to Adam, and I have to tell you tonight, y'all, the rest is history. You see, we must learn how to wait on God, to trust God. If God said it, it will come to pass. You can believe it. If your thoughts and imagination do not line up with the Word of God, run from it. Learn how. You know, and you know, with people who being delivered from addictions and stuff, you know, that they say the 12-step program, and I think somewhere they say, you know, when your mind tell you might want to do something you shouldn't be doing, they say tell your mind no 12 times a day, 12 times a day for 12 days, and, you know, you'll be almost cured. Because, you see, if you keep telling Satan no, he's going to try something else. And you tell him long enough, because, you know, a lot of things we used to do, we don't do no more. And some things, Satan don't even try to bring it in your mind no more, because that's how many times you done said no, and he know you serious now. You got to run from it. You got to cast it down immediately, because if you allow it to have free space in your head, it will be harder to evict. Remember I said the only place that Satan can play is in your mind. Don't give Satan free rent in your head. Don't let him set up shop in your head. Because your thoughts now believe that they have squatter's rights in your mind or something like that. Satan has been in some of our minds so long, and we never evict him till he has established squatter's rights. Have you ever let your thoughts and imagination run wild and so far that you no longer know who you are? And you wake up one morning and say, how did I get here? You tell yourself, I'm doing things that I never thought I would do. But as we get ready to close tonight, you might ask the question why God gave man an imagination, because imagination, like I told you, is not bad in and of itself, but imagination has destroyed nations. You see, there are only two ways a human can see something. You either have to do with your physical vision, which is your eyes, or with your imagination. You see, without imagination, men would be complete robots. Because we wouldn't think about getting to the next level. We wouldn't thinking about going to new heights. We would be limited robots without imagination. All human progress has been born out of their imagination to see things differently than they are. And even with that, man began to invent. And always remember, I told y'all, God creates, man invents. When God created the world, there was nothing. He created everything from nothing. And then man came back and took the things that God created and hooked them together and made an invention. But man can never create. He can only invent. And he can only, you know, use his imagination. And look at that. God gave him that. God gave you imagination. Wow. You see, imagination is used for righteousness' sake is a good thing. But when you allow your imagination to play tricks on you, it could destroy you. You see, without imagination, how could we see God in our mind? Oh, that's a sweet thing, imagination. Think on things that are lovely. Think on things that are good. Think on things that are good of report. Hallelujah. Read the Word of God. How could we read the Word of God and imagine and see the rapture? You know, when we taught and we read the scriptures about the rapture so much, without imagination, how could we see Jesus in the air? Thank God for imagination. You know, when we talk about heaven and what we know in the book of Revelation, without imagination, how could we see the pearly gates or the streets paved with gold? How could we see the Red Sea being divided into two and the children of Israel walking through? Come on now. Hallelujah. Come on now. Without imagination, how could we imagine the suffering of Jesus? And then imagine how it was at the resurrection. You see, we're not living in them times. We didn't see it. We're reading it. But you see that imagination that God put in us, and if we don't walk after the flesh but walk after the Spirit, and we know that the Holy Ghost is going to bring things to our memory, and when he bring it through our memory, he's going in our imagination. And then when you talk to the Holy Ghost to let you imagine the things of God, bingo, he will. Here we see that imagination is needed. We must control our minds and our imagination and line it up with the things of God, and I guarantee you, you would have an abundant life. But please don't allow your mind to play tricks on you. And that's our lesson for tonight. At this time, if there's anyone that would like to make a comment, give a word of encouragement, or anything at this time, please press the one button on your phone and I'll open a mic for you to talk. You know, okay, we have a button press. The number is 281. I'm opening your mic right now. You may speak at this time.
I wanted to start off by telling everybody good night and to say thank you, T-Diane, for conducting the service again. For people that don't know, my aunt still held Bible study tonight, and our family is experiencing a tremendous loss with the passing of my grandfather, which is her father. So this is like a hard time with me. I don't deal very well with death, but I just wanted to chime in to tell everybody to please keep us in your prayers, to uplift my aunt and continue to pray for her and for us during this rough time, and to tell you thank you again, T-Dine, and I enjoyed the teaching on tonight, and that's it.
Thank you, Tamika, so much. Thank you for tuning in. You know, she mentioned the death of my father, and I have to take this time because some of the callers that have called in on the line has, knows me and know the situation. They have given words of encouragement and consolation to me, you know, and my family, and for that I want to say thank you. My father's name was Willie Donald Ward. He was 90 years old, and he passed away peacefully in his sleep on Friday morning. You know, I mean, it was so, if I could express it like that, it was so cool, you know. And I thank God for my father's life. And, you know, because of the way that my father lived, and he was always, you know, sort of the same way, you know, what you see is what you got. And he always did things, you know, he didn't say many words, but my father taught us by example. You know, he was a working man, so we all began to work. He was a respectful man, so we learned respect. You know, you don't always have to say something. The Bible teaches us to let our light so shine that men may see the good works and glorify the Father. You know, my father led by example. He let his light so shine. And you know, each day since he has passed, I think about more and more wonderful things that I didn't look at and I didn't appreciate. So I could tell each and every one of you, you know, if your loved ones is there, learn how to appreciate who they are. They're not always what you will want them to be. They're not going to always say what you want to hear. They're not going to always give what you think you need, but they are who they are. No one is perfect. We are all under construction. But my father was soft-spoken. He was a peaceable man. He was a loving man. He loved his family. He took care of his wife. He took care of his children, you know. And he was steady. You know, he didn't take no times out. You know, my mother died when I was 11 years old, and my daddy was only 40 years old, and my mother died and left my father with 6 children, and he became a single parent. And it wasn't until 1969, years later, that he married his beloved wife, Miss Dorothy Jones Dorothy Daggs Jones Ward now. You know, he married her, and to that union, she brought 9 children. But my daddy didn't take times out. He didn't get down and hold his head out, and he didn't separate us, and he didn't pick and choose between us. You know, he was a man. He was a real man. And because of that, I can hang my head up, and I could do Bible studying, and I thank you for your prayers, and I thank you for your encouragement, and I thank you for everything, and I thank God for allowing my father to be my father, because we don't get the opportunity to pick our parents. Whatever parent you got or whatever children you got, sit down and realize you didn't pick them. If God gave them to you, he must have wanted you with them. And it takes all kinds to make the world tick. And I don't want to keep talking about this, but I thank you guys for your words of sympathy, your acts of kindness, your words of condolence. I thank you. I thank you. And if there's anyone else who would like to say something at this time, I'm going to go ahead and say the prayer. And I'm going to put after the prayer, because people have requested and said they love to hear the music. But after the prayer, what I'm going to do is begin to play music. But, you know, this is our benediction. And I'm sorry I didn't make this statement. Like I say, my father died on Friday morning in his sleep peacefully. But his services are going to be on Saturday, January the 18th. 2014 at 10 o'clock a.m. at New Salem Baptist Church, and it's in New Orleans, Louisiana, and the address is 1530 Alva Street. So that's the information for that, and thank you guys so much. So I'm going to go ahead and do the closing prayer, but I'm going to begin to play music, so anyone who want to hear some awesome songs, you know, music is still teaching, it's still fellowshipping. So I'll play some music after the prayer, but here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being such a good God. Thank you for life and living, and thank you for death. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for your bountiful blessing and your loving kindness. Thank you, dear God, for your darling son, Jesus, who died on the cross in Calvary, but rose on a Sunday morning with all victory in his hand. And because of that, you know, we live. And I say thank you. And because of that, when we die, we will enter into eternity, where every day will be Sunday and Sabbath, I have no end. Lord, teach us how to set our sights on our heavenly home and not just so with the things of this world. Help us, dear God, because we can't make it without you. Lord, I pray that the word that went forth tonight will be something that someone can use. Lord, you say that your word will not return void, and I believe it. Lord, I thank you for taking each person that is on this phone, dear God, and I'm asking that you make a decree and you place favor on their lives, dear God. I ask that you fix their finances, regulate their mind, you know, let them know who they are in Christ Jesus, build them up where they tone down, heal the bodies, dear God, you know, anoint their heads with oil that they may have peace in their mind, dear God. You're a doctor in a sick room. You're a heart regulator. You're all that and more. And because of that, dear God, we have to give you praise, honor, and glory. Teach us, dear God, how to love on you. Teach us how to love you more. Teach us how to line our minds up with our heart, dear God. Cleanse our heart, dear God. Direct our mind, dear God. Order our footsteps, dear God. Control our hands, dear God. And then, and only then will we have success. Go with everybody that's listening, dear God, and everyone that may be on the internet. Let them have a blessed week, dear God. Let them receive all that they desire. I ask all these blessings in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, and thank God. And before I put the music on, if there's anyone who would like to say anything at this time, you may press the one button. You can press the one button. I'll open your mic. But even while the music on, if you're still on the line, you can press, you could call in if you're on the internet looking at it. You could call into the call-in number and then press one on your phone, and I could open the lines to you. I also want you to know that there's a prayer line set up. And a prayer line number is 504-289-9501. 504-289-9501. I want y'all to really be blessed. And I'm praying for you guys. You know, I pray for the Wednesday night Bible study callers. And I'm asking that you pray for me and lift up my family in prayer as we do the celebration of our Father's life. Because that's what it is, a celebration. Because, you know, they say, may the works that I've done speak for me. He did that. And I thank God. And I'm going to now put on some music, and you guys can listen to it. Thank you.
Get behind closed doors, man, you hit you call it living. When it comes to money, she can be a hero. She writes them checks with a whole lot of zeros. What you don't know is when she get home and get behind closed doors, man, she hit the floor. And what you can't see is she on her knees. And if you ask her, she'll tell you it's a God in me. It's a God.
The God in Me, and this is Curry Franklin. See, when God is with you, you can smile no matter what the situation may be. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Come on now.
And while you're waiting, remember.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that was smile. You know, that is so true. You know, we're going to have all kind of adversities and trials and tribulations in our lives. And the Bible says anger, you know, it's all right to anger, but sin not. And we have to learn in the midst of our storms that we should smile because we are representative of God. I'm not saying that it hurt, but, you know, that it don't hurt. But we can smile. And I thank God for that. This is another Kirk Franklin song for anyone that's still listening in. I love y'all, and I thank God for each and every one of you. And it is my desire that God bless you in the blessing that you need in. This song is called Imagine Me.
Yeah.
never felt good enough. You never felt pretty enough. But imagine God whispering in your ear.
Beautiful. Imagine Me by Kirk Franklin. And that's our broadcast for tonight. I thank everyone that's still listening, and I have callers still on the line, so I'm going to ask you to do this because I got a lot of music. So if you would like to continue to hear the music on your phone, press the 1. I'm not going to open your line up. I'm not going to ask you to speak. Or anything. If you want more music, press 1. If not, we're going to close the broadcast for the night. And I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule. You know, this is the words of wisdom. And the motto is we do it plain and simple, and it's no big I's and no little U's. And when I get before you, I don't confess to know everything, but I'm giving you what I got. And remember that I cannot give you illumination or a revelation. It's just the Holy Ghost can do that. But just use what you got and try to get what you need and let it help you become what you want to be. So if there's anybody else would like to listen to more music, if you press 1 on your phone, I will continue to play. Otherwise, I will say good night. God bless you. Hope to see you on Wednesday. And be blessed. I love each and every one of you, and you can't do nothing about it. So for tonight, good night. See you back Wednesday.